fanboy.
Part-time fanboy doing my thing.
You think this can last?
There's a storm coming, Mr. Wayne. You and your friends better batten down the hatches. 'Cause when it hits, you're all gonna wonder how you ever thought you could live so large and leave so little for the rest of us.
What does that mean?
Rise.
When Gotham is ashes, you have my permission to die.
This is Part-Time Fanboy. This is Christian Horn, and I am here with Paul Edwards, and a little movie called The Dark Knight Rises opened, and we are here to share our opinions of it with you. Not that they matter, because everything that's been said about this movie has probably been already said, but I don't know. I just figured it would be nice for us to get on, and we're the only two who have seen it so far. And what's interesting is that it's rare that I get to see something opening night because of family and work and all that, and the sitter just happened to be available, so I got to see it last night, and in IMAX, so that was good. Well, I guess the first thing that we should say is, you know, our, I guess, condolences go out to the families of the Aurora, Colorado, you know, shooting incident. I've kind of avoided a lot of the news. Maybe I've gotten hit here and there with a little bit of it, but I think it would be negligent of us not to at least mention or say something, you know.
Yeah, I agree. I have a good friend who's a professor over there, and his daughter has a friend who was one of the shooting victims.
Oh my goodness.
So she's doing fine, and as far as I know, the friend is doing all right, but we definitely want to keep those people in our minds and hearts.
Yeah. I mean, definitely, and it's a horrible thing, and it makes no sense, and I'm not going to try and pretend I'm an expert at anything. The only thing that I want to say is that we're saddened by it, and I don't care what it means to Batman or anything like that. What I care about is that, I just my best wishes go out to anyone who's been affected by this in any way, shape, or form. So that's it. So let's get on to the movie, because I don't want to dwell on that too much, because I think everyone's giving it tons of attention, and, you know, we've already given it enough attention. But so let's start out. What did you think?
I know that we're going to diverge on this movie. I really loved it a lot.
Wow. Really?
Yes.
Okay. Why'd you love it?
You know, for me, a couple of different reasons. I thought that it closed out the Nolan era of Batman really well. It went back to the themes of the first movie. It sort of gave a closure to almost every character that they've had throughout the series. And the other thing, after it was all over and kind of left me a little sad, was I realized this is probably going to be one of the last large-scale movies that was shot and finished on film.
I didn't know that this one was shot on film altogether.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
That's amazing.
I think this so in a lot of ways it just sort of felt like the end of an era to me, and so even though I walked away from it sad, I was just really impressed with the overall craftsmanship that went into it, and I thought that it told sort of an important story in terms of how we look at Batman and how ironically how we respond to evil and to bad things happening.
For me, I was bored, to tell you the honest truth. I really went into this with positive feelings. I've known since the second movie that this is like an Elseworlds thing. Like, this is not any Batman that we've seen before. You know, this is something different, and I'm all willing to go with that. You know what I'm saying? And I'm fine with whatever messages that the movie's trying to import. And I got it. Like, I understood everything that he was going for. At least I believe I do. You know, it wasn't subtle in any way, shape, or form that way to me.
No, and that's what sort of made it feel a little more comic booky than certainly the last one did.
Yeah, that's the thing, is this is another thing where I feel that there was way too much. First of all, I was thinking about it. I think this is really The Dark Knight Returns. This is Nolan's version of The Dark Knight Returns. And I think that it's very much, and we're spoiling the shit out of this thing. So if anyone is listening and has not seen it, turn this off right now, because I'm going to spoil the fucking movie for you. And that's it. So this is, I feel that this is The Dark Knight Returns. I feel that this is Nolan's take, or maybe a more quote unquote modernized take on The Dark Knight Returns. And the thing is the problems that I have with the movie are not so much, I just thought that the pacing was really off. I felt that I did not feel any dramatic tension during the whole movie. I felt that the characters did not connect to each other. I felt Bane was kind of scary, but not necessarily as horrifying as he could have been. Heath Ledger was much more terrifying to me in the second movie. I felt that there was a serious lack of dramatic tension, and the thing is that this is a very plot driven movie, and I feel like everyone was being moved as pieces on a chessboard just to get something accomplished.
That's a criticism I've heard of a lot of Nolan's movies.
Yeah,
I don't really get that feeling, because I really felt that there was a connection that's going on. One of the things that I've always thought about Nolan's take on Batman, which I've always thought is really cool and unique, is that Batman's not just one person. He never has been just one person. Bruce Wayne certainly is, you know, the embodiment of Batman. But you've got Lucius Fox, who is sort of the brain of Batman, and you've got Gordon, who's sort of a soul figure. And the actual character of Batman plays out across Gotham City. I know that one of the things that you had said is that you felt that there wasn't enough Batman in the movie.
I feel like there's barely any Batman in the movie.
And to me, I feel like everyone is Batman in this movie.
And that's great. I mean, I understand that interpretation of it, but I don't go to see a Batman. I don't go to see an Iron Man movie, you know. And I'm not saying that there can't be seriousness and gravitas and, you know, depth to a Batman movie, because the first two definitely had that and entertained the hell out of me. But it's like, if you're going with the concept of, like, the whole city is Batman, or Batman is more than one person, it's like, okay, but that's not why I go to see a Batman movie. I go to see a Batman movie because I want to see a dude dressed up as a bat, and he's on a mission, and you had barely two sequences with him in the bat outfit. And to me, it's like, that's just playing into the very first movie, where my criticism was like, I was very interested in the Bruce Wayne stuff, and then as soon as he becomes Batman, I became very uninterested in everything. And in this one, I felt that I wanted to see more Batman. I mean, I came to see a Batman movie. I appreciate all the backstory. I appreciate all the character development that you're trying to do, but it's not really paying off for me. But in the end, I want to see Batman, you know, do some Batman stuff. I mean, honestly, and that's the thing is, I agree with you. I think Chris Nolan is... I think he's a great filmmaker, don't get me wrong. Technically, this looks beautiful, and technically, and aspects of it I loved. Like, the ending I really liked. You know, yeah. I know a lot of people have been pissing on the ending, and I was like, no, this is great. I mean, it's the end of his trilogy. I agree with all that, but I felt that much of the movie was just plodding, just moving slowly along to get to something, and I just kept waiting. I'm like, when is Batman going to show up? And he literally doesn't show up till like an hour into the movie, right? The whole motorcycle chase sequence. Am I wrong about that?
Yeah, it felt earlier to me. It didn't feel slow to me. If anything, I felt like it started picking up steam, and you started missing bits of information. If anything, it felt like it was sort of going a little too quickly at times for me, because you know, you have things like you know, the transportation of Bruce Wayne to the prison from the you know, from Gotham, and it's like, wow, when does that happen? How does that happen? The whole, you know, I know they didn't really need to belabor the point or anything, but, you know, Bruce Wayne's return to Gotham after the prison, you know, like things, a lot of things started happening quickly. And then to me, the whole thing really, it did begin a little slow, but it certainly accelerated through to the end, you know, where, you know, the last third of the movie is a giant set piece, and it paid off for me.
Yeah, see, well, let me go back to the whole Dark Knight Returns thing, because I felt like once I left the theater, I was like, yeah, I feel like this is... Okay, so the beginning of the movie, Batman's been gone for 8 years because he's accepted this role of like a pariah where he murdered Harvey Dent, and everyone thinks that Batman, whoever the Batman was, murdered Harvey Dent and killed a bunch of other cops from the last movie. And so you've got 8 years where Batman has been gone, and it doesn't really take a lot for Bruce Wayne to get back into the action. All it takes is for Selina Kyle to rip off his pearls, and then he's like, okay, he's down in the Batcave again, and he's going to investigate this hot chick who stole his pearls. And I'm like, really? You've been gone for 8 years, and that's what makes you really come get back into action and start investigating stuff? You've been a hermit for 8 years because the woman of the love of your life, and he actually says it in the movie that it's because of her death that he pretty much gave it up. And to me, that just, that made no sense. Like, but anyway, this is very much to me, it reminds me very much of The Dark Knight Returns, where Bane is the mutant gang leader, right? Mm-hmm. He's this huge giant force, that muscular, you know, intimidating force that rallies troops around him to take down Gotham. And then you've got events escalating up to a certain point. You've got Batman giving up being Batman for a certain amount of time because something happened, you know, in The Dark Knight Returns, we're not really sure what it is. And then you've all got it building up to nuclear escalation, which was a big theme in The Dark Knight Returns, you know, nuclear war, things were going to happen. So I really feel like this was very much The Dark Knight Returns, but my biggest problem is it took too long. Well, like, I've already been
actually,
through...
I'm actually thinking about it. I'm counting four different Batman comic book storylines, for at least, that went into this movie.
Yeah, and I'm sure that's true. The biggest one in my mind is
definitely
just
Dark Knight Returns, like you were saying. Yeah. Nightfall, of course.
Of course.
No Man's Land.
Yeah, okay.
And also the Demon storyline from Ra's al Ghul.
Yeah. Oh, sure. Yeah, and that's great. But to me, the biggest thing that stuck out was The Dark Knight Returns, obviously because he's been gone for a long time, mm-hmm. you know, and all that. I just, the thing is like, I already sat through the first movie where I had to watch Bruce Wayne train and become Batman. And I don't need to sit through another movie where there's like 45 minutes of him trying to get in the bat game again. You know, to me it's just like that, this is wasted time. This is wasted time. Like I've sat through this, and at some point you just got to get it moving, and it took too long to get moving for me. I mean, and there's literally one point in the movie where my wife turned to me and she's like, "Where's Batman?" And I'm like, "I know, where the hell is Batman? Should we call Tony Stark? Can we get him on the phone? Because he'll do something. Batman's sitting around whining, you know, about everything that he's lost. I mean, this is bullshit. You know, I mean, and then Bane takes him down. Like, I don't know what he does, if he breaks his back or, you know, herniates a disc or whatever the hell it is he does, you know, to beat Batman up. And that's the thing, is in the Batman comics, the whole reason that Bane was ever able to beat him is because of repercussions from Death in the Family, where Batman's mm-hmm. just like burning himself out. And mm-hmm. I didn't really get that in this movie. I didn't feel like that there was any, that if Batman, Christian Bale, had been thinking, and that he would have been caught the way he was caught. You know what I'm saying? I just felt like there were so many big holes in.
Here's the thing, is I don't think that there's any holes in that, though, because
I really do.
He's getting old.
Yeah,
and that's really the thing, is that Batman, what he's fighting here is the age, the injuries. It's all piled up on him, and you know. Has he been completely out of the game? Probably not. He has probably been keeping himself in what shape he can. But, you know, the fact is that he's having to face himself as a no longer young man. And where Bane takes him down, it's just the fact that he's bigger, he's faster, he's younger, and, you know, all the training in the world can't make up for that.
Yeah, but that's the thing too, is that with me, it's Batman has always been a thinking hero. You know what I mean? He's always been able to outwit his opponents. And in this movie, I just feel like he just went in like a brawler. And there was no thought going on in his mind. Like, if Bane had been able to figure something out, to some machination to trick him into, you know, into a trap or something like that. But there was none of that. It was just like, I'm bigger than you, and we're going to get into a fist fight, and I'm going to kick your ass, and, you know, all your tricks won't work against me because I'm in the League of Shadows too. And I just felt like that was weak. I felt that, you know, with the second movie, you really got a sense of, like, the whole reason that Batman was being outwitted was because he stood for a set of rules, right? And the Joker had no rules. Like, all bets were off. And Batman had never confronted this sort of thing. So when Bane shows up, I'm very much like, well, he's sort of already dealt with somebody who doesn't, so he should be able to outmaneuver this dude. And I feel like so much of what happens in the movie, except maybe towards the end, is not because of anything that really Batman does. You know, I feel like it's all either chance or other players moving into position. You know what
I
mean?
Do you feel that in a sense, though, he became complacent because he felt like the League of Shadows was something that had already been dealt with?
Well, yeah, I think he even says that, because I think he thinks that with Ra's al Ghul, that once he killed him, you know, that there was nothing left really to do, right? I mean, at least as far as the League of Shadows is concerned, you know. But I just feel like once he felt like that was coming down, that he would have been smarter than he was in this movie. And that's the thing, is where you and I differ, I think, mostly is that the pacing was just off for me. And I really felt that there was a lot of time wasted in this movie building up to something that didn't really need to be built up to. I feel like, you know, I really feel that there may have been a flaw with sending it 8 years later, and or maybe like 2-3 years later, where I just feel like you could have gotten Batman back into the action much quicker, and it should have been something much more intense and serious to get him back into the action.
Here's the thing about the 8 year time span, though, is that it gave us the chance to have, and this is going back to a conversation that you and I had after The Dark Knight. After The Dark Knight came out, I said, wow, you know, that movie was so dark. I feel like the only way that they can go in the next movie is to somehow make it a Batman and Robin movie.
Yeah.
But I don't know how to do that without it being utterly ridiculous in Nolan's universe.
Sure.
By setting it 8 years in the future from the last one, he manages that trick.
I don't think he does, because a lot of complaints about them, and I didn't have a problem with the darkness of this movie. I don't want to be misunderstood in any way, shape, or form. I feel that's great. You want to make it dark. You want to make it brooding. That's fine. For me, the biggest issue I had, you know, I don't care about 8 years later. I don't care, is the fact that I went to this, you know how Ian was talking in the last podcast we did about Batman, where it's like, I want to make a Mr. Wayne movie, where it's just like Bruce Wayne. That's what this was to me. And I'm like, that's great, but I didn't even feel Bruce Wayne in this particular movie, not in the first two, was a compelling enough character for me to care. You know, I just didn't feel like there was enough development on his part. Some serious character development or just for me to care. I just felt like, oh, poor baby, you're a rich guy, you fought crime, and something happened, and now you have to stop and be a wuss for 2 hours, the 2 hours that it gets you to get moving, get up off your ass, and climb out of a hole, which we know you're going to get out of. You know what I'm saying? Like that whole bit with him in the cell that Bane put him in, where he has to climb like 2 or 3 times, that was tiresome to me. I just felt like, really? We know he's going to get out. Just do it once, and then the second time he gets out. I know the third time is the charm in movie making, but for me it was really just that was just... But I did... like the twist at the end with Talia al Ghul. I thought that was well handled. You know,
One of the criticisms I had heard from one of my friends is that he didn't really care for the way that Bane was taken out. He felt like that was pretty anticlimactic.
Yeah, I mean, I would agree with you. I mean, I feel like putting Jim Gordon in a hospital bed. Too. I mean, here's a character who was so great in the second movie, and you kind of just like lay him up, you know, for the whole movie. I mean, he is trying to, you know, he has a lot of plans going on. He's trying to coordinate things from the hospital bed, but I just felt like that was a real waste of the character. And again, I really do feel like this is an Elseworlds thing. I feel like this is very, this is something else. And for a Batman fan, I'm not looking for Batman and Robin. I'm not looking, you know, I don't want people to misunderstand me. I'm not like, well, this isn't the comic books. I just don't feel like it was a very well executed Batman film or a film. I feel like it was very slow. And quite honestly, I feel that if Chris Nolan wants to make a James Bond movie, he should make a James Bond movie, because that's what a lot of the stuff came across to me. A lot of the technology and stuff like that. So for me, it's a misstep. I can't tell you how badly I feel that I'm saying that, because you know that I like the first two, and that's the thing, is I could easily say, you know, oh, maybe I was tired, or maybe the crowds bothered me, but I wasn't tired. The crowds did not bother me. I was in a mindset. I was very excited, and I was awake, and I was, you know, very chipper, which is rare when I go to the movies sometimes, because it's such a... I just felt like, dude, this is taking too long. I came here... Like, with the Marvel movies, they give you what you want. You know what I mean? They give you enough of the superhero, and they give you enough of the backstory, the secret identity stuff, that there's a nice mix. And I felt that mix was really missing in this movie. That's me. I mean, Chris Nolan knows more about filmmaking than I'll ever know, you know?
Yeah.
What's that?
There were certainly a lot of balls in the air in this juggling act.
Absolutely.
And, you know, for me, I really felt like tonally this movie sort of stepped back more to the first one than the second one. It seemed like the first one was a very sort of the first one seemed more comic booky.
Yeah.
The second one was a straight up crime drama.
Yeah.
And then this one seems to be sort of an amalgam of the two.
Yeah.
And it had a little more humor than the second one did, but it wasn't, you know, quite as, you know, as upbeat as the first. It was definitely its own thing.
Yeah.
I never felt like there was anything in there that was a plot hole that took me out of the movie.
I don't disagree. I don't disagree that the plot is and that the story itself to a certain that the whole plot that Bane devises and the whole you know thing the way things play out is not the problem that I have with this movie. The story is not necessarily my problem is with the pacing and my problem is what's that?
I said okay. I can get that.
And my problem is more with the fact that there's not enough. I didn't feel for the characters. Like Anne Hathaway, my God, she was great as Catwoman. And I'm like, that's. I'm pointing at the screen and I'm like, let's focus on that. Can we focus on that more? Because she's doing a really good job and she was sexy as hell. And they did a lot of really decent, neat stuff with her. But by the second half of the movie, she's basically ignored. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Gotham sort of becomes locked away on its own. She's definitely on her own.
Yeah, exactly.
And you know, one of the interesting things too that I thought was that really the only times where Christian Bale really sparks and comes to life are his scenes with her.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't just and that's the
which,
other thing.
Which absolutely for me that. To me, that's enough of a motivation for him to get back in the game.
You mean because he met a woman?
Because he met that woman.
Yeah.
That woman.
Sure. I mean, maybe, but I don't buy it. Like, if you're sitting around for 8 years and you're just morose and, you know, there's a lot of impressive women around and obviously, you know, whatever, she broke into his... into his safe and was able to get his fingerprints and obviously that intrigues him so he realizes that something's going on but I feel like if you've been in a rut for 8 years there has to be something huge to pull you out of that to make you realize and that's sort of the thing in The Dark Knight Returns there's nothing really I mean it really is akin to like alcohol addiction you know what I'm saying or drug addiction.
I believe that he is sort of addicted to the puzzles, you know, to figuring these things out.
Yeah.
And the fact that she comes in and that while she does take the necklace, what she's really after obviously were his fingerprints.
Yeah.
That's enough of a puzzle to get him going.
Yeah.
I feel like by sacrificing himself at the end of the second movie and allowing the Dent Act to come into being and, you know, letting law enforcement take care of everything, it sort of robbed him of the thing that made him Batman, which was the detective work.
Sure, but that's the thing is I really feel like there's probably lots of things that would happen in 8 years that could... that the police might have been investigating that he could have been involved in. You know what I'm saying? I'm sure that, you know, even though they're putting criminals away, and that's the thing that they never address in this movie, because in the last movie, the Joker did not die. So nobody's listening to the Joker being like, you know, I didn't kill, you know, they didn't kill Harvey Dent was a maniac, and like they don't even address that. And to me, the really sad thing is I really wish it makes me sad that you know, what would this have movie been like if Heath Ledger had lived? Probably a completely different movie, don't you think?
Don't know.
I mean,
but it's that's sort of just useless speculation in a way.
But yeah, it is. But I also think that you've got a really intriguing character who is, where is he? They never mention him. Was he executed? Is he in the asylum? Is he, the Joker's been sitting around for 8 years doing nothing? I mean, that doesn't make any sense to me at all. I mean, if anything, as we know in the comic books, I mean, the Joker kind of gives him a reason for an existence for living, right? I mean, a reason for doing what he does. All those criminals do. So you put all the criminals in with no chance of parole, but there's always new criminals coming up, you know? And
right.
I just don't believe that in 8 years there's not a case that he would not have, you know, that this woman breaking into his house would maybe led him to invest, maybe gotten him curious about some, but I just don't buy that that it would have pulled him out of the funk that he was in. You know, I just feel like, but that's the thing, in The Dark Knight Returns there's really nothing except for the fact that he can't fight his own addiction. So, but in any case, that's fine. But I would have liked to seen him as Batman tracking her down. You know what I'm saying? Like, for me, it's maybe it just comes down to semantics of, hey, why don't we just get him in the outfit and give me Batman tracking down Selina Kyle in the costume, and maybe I would have even been much happier, you know? But that's my biggest flaw, is that I came to see a Batman movie. I didn't come to see, you know, Bruce Wayne walking around, you know, in his Lamborghini. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense?
Sure, I can get that.
Yeah, so I just feel like that's the biggest flaw, is that while I can see what you're saying, that the whole city is Batman and that the people are Batman.
Well, let's talk about the new Batman then in the movie. Joseph Gordon-Levitt's character.
Yeah.
A fantastic new stand-in, and interesting. I really, really enjoyed his character through the movie.
Yeah, and I thought he was great, and I feel like he stole the show in a lot of ways, which is another reason why I'm very much like, hey, why am I focusing on this cop? You could have made Bruce Wayne or Batman much more interesting, you know? And I just, again, maybe it's the whole thing where the movie feels like there's too many things in one movie, too many villains, too many subplots, you know? I mean, honestly, you could have split them up into three movies, and we know that's not the way the corporate structure works, you know? And I feel like he was trying to cram way too much in one movie, but I did like the way he pulled that off, and I mean, you could see it coming from a mile away, that this was going to be the new Batman, don't you think?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, yeah. He has his moment where I really like the moments that they give him throughout the movie where he's given a choice and he makes the same choices that Bruce does.
Yeah.
You know, he chooses to reject the gun. He chooses to work outside of the law.
Yeah.
You know, he makes certain choices that absolutely parallel everything that Bruce Wayne's been through. And I thought that was really well handled.
Yeah.
You've got to, you know, again, by the end of it, it really does sort of hammer home the whole theme that Nolan's been doing for the last three movies, the idea of symbols outlasting people.
Sure, but that's been done in the Batman books too. I mean, even with The Dark Knight Returns, you had, you know, he raises his own army by the end of the book, and he's going to train this army of people who have been tattooing their faces with Batman symbols, you know. It's interesting that you said you were kind of sad at the end of the movie. What I was kind of sad about was that the fact that they introduced Joseph Gordon-Levitt, and you're never going to see that movie, probably. I mean,
yeah, I know.
and that you had Anne Hathaway as probably, I mean, one of the better Catwomans that you're ever going to see, in my opinion, or one of the cooler. And you're just not going to see more of her, you know?
Yeah.
And I feel like that to me is like, you set all this stuff up and it's just not going to go anywhere. It's not going anywhere. And maybe it doesn't need to, sure. I mean, maybe this is like Watchmen, you know, beginning, middle, and an end, and that's fine, and you're just sort of left with what you're left with. But I just felt like, you know, there's definitely so much good stuff in there that I just really liked, but it just wouldn't come together for me. I just felt like it's just
for me, it just felt like the end. And it, for me, I walked out of it satisfied. Okay, this is the end. These are the movies that pretty much he set out to make. You know?
Yeah.
And I was satisfied with that. Like I said, one of the things that I was really sad about, again, is seeing, and there's a little tag on the end of it that says this movie was shot and finished on film. And nice. Just knowing that that is not going to happen that often, and it probably never will again to this degree.
Yeah.
That one made me a little sad too, because I mean, honestly, the cinematography in this, Wally Pfister,
mm-hmm. Oh my God,
really outdid himself. The textures, the range of darkness that he uses in this movie, it was just gorgeous to look at, and again, all of that incredible stunt work done for the most part live action.
Yeah.
You know, just beautiful to see. The scale of this thing is really unbelievable.
Yeah. Oh yeah. And I would, you know, just for that, I would recommend people go see it. I mean, just for the cinematography and the set pieces that, I mean, I'm not saying don't go see it. I'm saying I just did not like it. I was bored, and so was Amy, to tell you the truth. Amy was kind of bored. She, after a while, it was like, what's going on here? Like, what? Why isn't, you know, when Batman shows up, like, the audience went nuts. You know, the mm-hmm. audience went nuts when he shows up on the motorcycle and he starts doing all that cool shit. And it's like, yeah, that's great. And the reason we're going nuts is because he hasn't been in the movie for like an hour. You know what I mean? And then you have to wait another hour for him to show up again, and all the cool action set pieces. And I guess the argument could be made that he's kind of trying to stretch things out so that when Batman shows up, it's special. But it's mm-hmm. like, that's not why I came here, you know.
Yeah.
And the audience went nuts for I mean, this isn't like the Hulk in the Avengers movie, you know?
Right, right.
It doesn't need to be teased. It's a Batman movie. But, you know, the audience went nuts when he says, like, she says, oh, sorry, it was under a different name. And he's like, oh, yeah, that's like my given name or something. And she's right. like, you should use it more. And then he says Robin. And the audience went nuts. And I was cool with that. I was like, okay, I'm cool with everything that you set into play. I'm cool with your story. What I'm not cool with is the way you laid out your story. You know what I mean? I just, it didn't gel for me. But I cannot argue with you on the filmmaking technique as far as the technical aspects of it. I mean, it is a gorgeous movie. It is an absolutely 100% professionally done, and I'm not even saying professionally done like in a condescending way, like, ooh, Transformers is professionally done.
No,
I'm saying
this is craftsmanship.
Exactly. This is craftsmanship. I just think that maybe this movie got a little bit too caught up in craftsmanship and a little too caught up in delivering messages than delivering a really exciting and coherent story, a really exciting and coherent story, something that moved along and just kept you on the edge of your seat. To me, it did not keep me on the edge of my seat, and that's my biggest disappointment. And that's it. I mean, to me, it just dragged the hero through the mud again, and I was not, I've seen that, you know what I mean? I've seen Batman being dragged through the mud, and at this point, I was just ready for Batman to be Batman, you know, and start being Batman at the beginning of the movie, and, you know, for stuff to start happening, you know, and I didn't get that, so maybe it's my expectations, and I'll say that I really think that I may try and go see it again. It's a 3-hour movie.
Yeah. I'll be honest, I will see it again.
Yeah.
Because I do want to go back and see the others. I didn't before this, but I do. I want to sort of get the whole experience. And you know, one of the interesting things that really that really kind of grabbed me in this movie is the way they always have kids in the Batman movies.
Yeah.
And, you know, that they have not most movies, even you know, like the Marvel movies, they don't have kids in them.
Yeah.
And I think it's really, really interesting that a huge degree of sort of how Batman is perceived by the public through the movie is always through the eyes of the kids.
Yeah.
And
well, that's interesting because I feel like it has to do more with the fact that Robin has been such a presence in the Batman books for so long.
Right.
You know what I mean? That there has always been a child, you know, present in the Batman books. So maybe, you know, he wasn't going to put Robin in his movies, you know what I mean? But,
right.
You know, and he managed to do it with this one, but, you know, I think that you're right. I think that there's something there that, you know, is very interesting as far as, like, yeah, he does have kids in all the movies. So, yeah, but again, you know, I did not hate it. I was just very disappointed with it, you know, and I can't say that this is an awful movie. I can't say to people, like, you're not going to like it, because maybe some people will. The audience that I saw it with loved it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But that's opening night, you know. That's opening night, Friday night. Everyone's ready to – everyone's all in, you know what I mean?
Right.
And while I was all in, I was ready to go. I'm – as you know, I'm a bit much more of a pain in the ass when it comes to – you know, something pleasing me. You know, but I've gotten much softer. If you'd have told me that I would have liked The Amazing Spider-Man more than I liked The Dark Knight Rises in January of this year, I would have been like, you are high. You are crazy. There is no way. But that's the thing is I did. I liked The Amazing Spider-Man more than I liked this movie. Yeah, and it kind of makes me sad. But I'm ready for the Batman reboot. I mean, I'm ready. Hopefully the next guy will, you know, do something that will just make it a little more lighthearted.
Yeah,
I don't have a problem. What's that?
I don't have a problem with that either, because I feel like there are so many good Batman stories still yet to be told.
Yeah.
And even though I was a little sad at the end of the movie because, you know, end of the era, you know, end of one era is the beginning of another one.
Sure,
and
sure.
That's the nice message I like to take away from the movie.
Yeah, and that's the thing is that this series of movies, you know, even if it's not this one, the first two are going to inspire any future Batman filmmakers. I mean, they've got a decent amount to live up to, but I hope that the next person is just like wiping the slate clean if they are doing a reboot or they're just going to the Justice League movie, you know, whatever they're going to do. But I just hope that they're able to take it and just go, okay, we're going to start over. You know what I mean? And, or incorporate some elements of this one, you know, small elements like Ra's al Ghul and, you know, but, I don't know. It'll be interesting to see where they go from here, because I don't know where you can go. You know what I mean? As far as not having to live up to these movies, because they are. They're very. I mean, he's an auteur, man. He doesn't. You know, he's an amazing filmmaker. As a matter of fact, I mean, I have not seen Insomnia, and I still haven't seen the very first movie that he's done. But
mm-hmm.
any
Following.
Movie, what's that?
The name's Following.
Yeah, Following. But anything that I loved Inception, and I just think that this guy is an amazing filmmaker. This just did not speak to me. So, yeah, and I guess that's it. What did you think of the Man of Steel thing?
I watched the... First of all, which trailer was ahead of yours that you saw? Was it the Jor-El narration?
Yeah, it was Jor-El.
I had the other one. I had the Pa Kent narration.
Oh, so there were two.
In front of mine. Yeah.
Oh, how was that one?
It's the exact same trailer, just with a different narration.
Oh.
Which was a good choice. I sat and watched both of them today, and they're both really good little monologues, and I really loved the imagery in it. If they can stick with that, then I'll be a happy camper.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a big Superman fan, so for me, I the trailer was fine. Nothing blew me away. Nothing made me go, oh my gosh, you know what I mean? Like, this is great. I just, after this movie, now I'm worried, because I just feel like I don't want filmmakers getting caught up too much in the symbolism of what this character is and not just being interested in entertaining me. You know what I mean?
It'll swing the other way, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, it's better, especially if, and I think it probably will. I think Avengers will probably end up being more of a model for the future of the movies than
yeah.
the Dark Knight trilogy will.
Yeah.
So, you know, again, what I'm happy with is that we've got room for all of it right now.
Sure, sure. And that's a good place to be. The one thing that I do have to say that really took me out of the movie was whenever Bane spoke with that ridiculous Sean Connery accent. Oh, Batman. Oh, I'm here. And it just sounds like somebody trying to do like what I just did, a bad Sean Connery. And I was like, why did they make him like this? And there were so many times too in this movie where the sound was so ba-bum, ba-bum, bum, bum, you know, where I could not hear dialogue.
Yeah, I had a hard time understanding about a quarter of the Bane dialogue.
Yeah, yeah, and I really felt like if you were going to go with that raspy voice, you should have made it scary and not, you know, aristocratic, you know, where he was like, hello, I'm here to save the streets of Gotham, you know, but...
That is a frighteningly accurate impression of that voice.
I mean, that's what it was, right? And there was even one time where I was watching the movie where I almost felt like he sounded like... Oh, it's going to bother me. Thurston Howell III, Mr. Magoo. Yeah, where, you know...
Jim Backus, yeah.
Yeah, Jim Backus, where I just felt like he was going to slip into like, oh, I can't see where I'm going. It's just not, you know, I just, like, it bothered me so much. And he, that's part of what took me out. He wasn't intimidating. But...
Yeah, props to Tom Hardy, though, for going through that thing with that mask
yeah,
on his face.
Yeah.
That was not an easy role.
Well, that guy's an amazing actor. I mean,
to
I can't
get across.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, that's just it. And so, anyway, I guess that's all I have to say. I'm sure that I have plenty more to say. And when we see each other in person and dissect it, we'll probably have that'll be the conversation we should have recorded. But you know, I just really feel like I just feel disappointment and. Maybe I'll go watch some Bruce Timm Batman to make myself feel better a little bit.
That always makes you feel better. Hey, our next podcast, we're going to be talking about Comic-Con, right?
Yeah, I think so. Yay!
Good, that'll be good times.
Yeah, good times. So anyway, anything else to say on The Dark Knight Rises?
No, other than I encourage everybody to give it a shot.
Yeah, I would say give it a shot. And go in just expecting something different. And I was expecting something different, but there was just... And I'll go see it again. I think if I can find 3 hours where I really want to, you know, sit down and analyze this thing, I'll probably go see it again. And see it in IMAX if you can.
Yes, yes.
Thank God it's not in 3D. They should get rid of 3D and replace it with IMAX because, geez, just absolutely stunning. I mean, just... unbelievable cinematography. Oh, anyway, all right, so this has been Part-Time Fanboy. These opinions are not the opinions of every part-time fanboy.
It's or just... any other than us.
Yeah, exactly. So but please check us out at parttimefanboy.com. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, shoot us an email at ptf@parttimefanboy.com, and we will be back soon. Part-time fanboy.